Could you please turn to John 3:16 with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
So I'm going to mix up this morning. I'm not going to start out straight with the scripture. I'm going to give a little talk real quick, and I'm going to give some instructions. So make sure you're paying attention for that. First, I guess the instructions would be better. Got our nice palm branches. I know you're eager to wave them around. So during the sermon today, at certain points, I'm going to say, "Here comes the King." And then you're going to say, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." And wave them around. Say it, Hosanna, three times. So let's try that. "Here comes the King. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." Awesome. I thought I'd come in here and have to be like, "All right, let's get some excitement." But there it is. I love it. I love it. So here we are. We're in the home stretch now. As Tina was saying, we're Holy Week. That's a big week. Lent is right here at the end. Now, you spent the last couple weeks trying to get ready for this Easter season by focusing on Christ and preparing our hearts and our minds for that splendid Easter morning coming up next week. So how many of you are ready for Easter? I don't know, it sort of snuck up on me. I've been saying it the last couple weeks, but it's sneaking up on me. It's coming fast. But ready or not, here it is. You know, it's Holy Week. So because of this, in today's scripture we're going to read about, "Here comes the King." I said it wrong, but here it comes. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Awesome, awesome. So now for our scripture reading. "The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.' Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it. As it is written, 'Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt.' At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they have done these things to him." So here comes the King. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. You guys have got it down. I love it. So with this scripture, we're going to look around four questions today. Talk about the significance of this event. The first one, what does the arrival of the King mean? What does that mean? What does it mean for the crowds? What does it mean to Jesus? And then what does it mean for us, looking back at it 2,000 years later? So I start out with the crowds. So the crowds were there. Now at the time, it's Passover time, as we see this coming Thursday. So everybody's gathering to Jerusalem. It's one of the few major times when everybody comes to Jerusalem. So I can't remember the exact number. They say there's hundreds of thousands, even up to a million people in this city getting ready for this Passover. So you can imagine, this isn't just a crowd of 50, 100 people outside. There may have been thousands of people outside Jerusalem at this time, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the King." And they're out there, they're going crazy. They're having a great time. You know, they're taking their cloaks off. Which, for most of the Jewish people, they weren't very rich. They may have had only one cloak, but they're throwing it right on the ground, right in this mud or dirt, or I don't know if it's raining or not, but right in the dirt, getting it all dirty and messed up, letting a donkey walk across it, all things. They were tearing down these palm branches, laying on the road as well, to try to pave it, make it this wonderful path for the King. And then some others were waving it in this fine procession. I mean, it's wonderful. And it can only mean one thing. They wouldn't do it for any other reason except for a king. But what kind of king would come to Jerusalem during Passover? It's not a common question we think of. We think, oh, it's the King. He's there. It's Jesus. Why wouldn't he be there? Well, at this time, the Jews didn't have a king. They were under Roman rule, so all they had was Caesar. And no other king, even Caesar at this time, would come to Jerusalem during Passover. They knew to stay well away. We know Passover is the time the Israelites were leaving Egypt. They were being freed. So especially at this time, when they're under rule again, the king's not going to show up and make them mad by showing up or upset them and think, wow, we can be free again. So all the kings knew to stay well away from this place. You know, the governor, he probably stayed at home during this too. I mean, everybody was, Roman officials, they weren't around. Now the key here to why this king was here, it all depended on what the king was writing. Now back then, there were so many traditions. I know we have a lot now, but they had so many more. That it meant something when a king would ride in town. Man, that was a big occasion. But it meant something as well for what the king was writing. That'll stay. Oh, no, it's not staying. So what the king was writing. So the crowd standing here shouting this praise, they had one question. What is he writing? Let us look. Let us see what's coming towards us. Is it a war horse? Or a donkey? Or what is it? What are we going to look at? A war horse meant war. You know, it meant trouble. Something big was brewing, and that wasn't a good time, especially during Passover. So they weren't looking for that. They didn't want that. They wanted this donkey. A donkey meant peace. A donkey meant stable times. That's what they were hoping for, and that's what Jesus came riding on. It's sort of like if a king came riding in today in a tank, you would know, oh, something's wrong. This is not right. Something is troubling. But then we see the king or president or whoever it is come in their limo with the nice procession around them. We know we're probably going to get a nice speech and probably a big dinner or something, but it's going to be a good time. We're going to hear something probably peaceful. So it makes a big difference on what the king rides in on. And in today's text, we see it's that donkey. It says, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." Jesus here, he's coming in peace. And we all know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he comes to bring peace to the whole world. But for this crowd, it means more than that. I mean, it's real to them. It's right there in front of them. Peace. We're not going to war. This man is coming with peace. So the people, they start shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." They can begin to make out the far-off cries of, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Somewhere in the back, someone probably yelled first. Now, hold on a minute. That doesn't really mean anything, right? Son of David, this is just a title, whatever. And it comes from the lineage of David, so what's that even matter? Well, it matters a whole lot to the Jewish people. This Son of David didn't mean you were part of his lineage, per se. It was a title reserved only for the King of the Jews. He was the only one that could be called the Son of David. Unless you were the literal Son of David, which they had died years before. So the Jews, they haven't had a king in forever. All they had was this Caesar to be praised. But can it be? This King of the Jews approaches. Here comes the king. So what a sight it must have been to see Jesus come in for this crowd. But then I bet there were a couple people sitting there, a little skeptical. Could have been the Pharisees, Sadducees, whoever they were, or maybe just regular people. Now when you think of a king, we think of this crown, this purple flowing robe. You know, this procession of these high state officials around them, important people with important clothes and important things to say. Don't really know why it matters, but it matters because they're wearing it and they're important. But that's not what happened. As we know, Jesus traveled around. He didn't travel around in special clothes and purple and silk and all these nice things. He traveled around in the regular day-to-day clothes of the regular person. Almost rags. He had the look of a man who worked for a living and traveled around, a man who didn't have much. Surely they would have thought, some of them would have thought, this is a joke. Maybe this is a test by the Roman administrators. What is this? What is happening? But then looking around, they're like, wow, everybody's so excited. Maybe this is true. It could be the king. So I'd say there are a few confused people in the crowd, but the celebration already started, and I'm sure, as you know, it's easy to join in a party when it's happening. I mean, you see a good time happening over there, you're going to go for it. Especially if this was the new king. I mean, you wouldn't want to miss out on your one shot of seeing the king and having this great procession around him. You wouldn't want to miss out on being at this spot. So the people, they celebrate. They celebrate for what's happening then. They celebrate the thought of this peaceful coming. They celebrate the thought of possibly this king overthrowing the Roman officials and freeing them. I mean, especially as Passover, like I said, this time of freedom. But they can't see into the future, to what will happen, to what will really happen in just a few short days to this mild Prince of Peace. They cannot begin to fathom what this next week will look like and the things they'll end up saying about him. So now I want to transition to Jesus. What does this mean for Jesus? I mean, it seems like a simple enough question. Well, he's the king, he's riding in, and that's great. I'm Jesus. But Scripture says Christ knows what awaits him. He knows what's coming. Imagine what Jesus must have been thinking as he rolled into the town. Jesus, he knew what his destiny was. He knew what path he was going to follow. He knew the sacrifices he was going to have to make. He knew the pain that was coming within the week. But guess what? Here comes the king. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Jesus, he knew these things. He knew these people. A shout of Hosanna today would shout, crucify him, just this coming Thursday and Friday. Jesus, he knew. So let's take a moment to peek a little bit into the future, since we have this nice Bible in front of us that allows us to do that. It's John 18, 1 through 11. We had finished praying. Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was an olive grove, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, because Jesus had often met with his disciples there. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, special right there, he went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. Now when Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Who is it you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." "I told you that I am he," Jesus answered. "If you are looking for me, then let these men go," talking about his disciples. "This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me? There's something special in that. I think that's almost what Jesus was thinking this whole time when he's riding that donkey in Jerusalem. "This is the cup the Father has given me to drink." This makes the donkey, bringing back the donkey, I know you guys loved it the first Sunday, makes this donkey even more symbolic at this one moment. He was not just a symbol of peace to the lookers, the onlookers, but he's also a symbol of a beast of burden. Donkeys were very well known, as they are now, for carrying around heavy loads. And the heaviest burden of all was carrying Jesus into this Jerusalem, carrying Jesus who had the weight of the world on him. Now, we talked about before how even as Jesus was fully God, he was also fully human. He had our fears. He experienced our pain. He experienced our doubts. Imagine the burden of knowing that you were going to die for everybody, put through all this punishment, and that you're going to feel it as well. I mean, you were God, so surely you could just say, I don't want to feel it. I'm just going to do it anyways. Make the sacrifice and not feel anything. But no, he was fully human. He experienced this. Now, as any of us would as well, I'm sure riding to that Jerusalem knowing what was coming, he'd be very fearful, almost doubtful. It'd be terrifying. What a stark difference this ride in Jerusalem means for Christ compared to the crowds. What a big difference. Prince of Peace, happiness. And then Jesus, who I'd say is happy. He knows what's happening. He's doing great for the world. But also fearful. a little scared. Here comes the king. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Also means to him, I believe, this is the end. This is it. I've come to my destination. Now for the crowds, this donkey, it represented peace. For the Christ, the donkey could represent this heavy burden that he had to carry. But what does this donkey here, not what we talked about last time, but here, teach you and I today? What does that have to do with us? Why does the donkey even matter right now? I mean, it's just carrying Jesus, which is pretty cool. But what does it matter? Well, I think in our text today, especially, of all the characters, we can almost relate most to the donkey. I mean, think about it. This crowd was throwing this big party. I mean, this is their end goal right here. This was it. They got what they've been dreaming of for, I forget how many years the Romans were occupying Jerusalem. Hundreds of years, I believe it was. So this is it. This is their freedom. It was coming. This is their new king. It's time for a new one. But we know today, it's a party. It's exciting. You know, with palm branches is great. But we know what's coming. And we know this isn't the big party. We know this isn't the end goal, him coming into Jerusalem. We know there's more to it. We know what this week is going to be like. I mean, we read about it in Scripture. We've heard about it all our lives. We know that our big party doesn't start until next week. We surely can't fully understand what it's like for Jesus carrying this huge burden. But if anything, we're there for the ride. We're there to support in ways we can. We're there to help in ways that we can. Now, we aren't like the crowds in that regard. We aren't like the disciples who are sort of confused by it all, not really know what's happening. We're much more like a donkey or maybe a third party observing. That's what this donkey has to teach us today, that this opportunity that awaits for us this coming week. We'll be invited to journey along with Jesus through the Holy Week services this week, so make sure you go. They're going to be great, especially this Thursday, as we sit there and listen and even participate when Jesus comes to the table and says his final goodbyes to his disciples, to his best friends. We can come this Friday to witness the death of Jesus when he's put on the cross. We'll be able to take all that in and know what it means for every single one of us. So when we finally come back here on Easter Sunday, we'll finally be able for that big party and that big celebration. We know what the future holds. At that point, we'll finally say this is the end goal. This is what Jesus came for. Not to release us from the Roman rule. Not to make us freemen instead of slaves. Instead to die on this cross for us. Instead to come as the king. Here comes the king. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Here comes the king again. Oh, I said it again. I apologize. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Here he comes. Here he comes through the resurrection. Here he comes in the final victory. And that's what this donkey has to teach us this Sunday. That's what we're looking forward to. Palm Sunday is a great Sunday. It's a day to rejoice and be happy and excited that Jesus is going towards that goal. It's exciting to know that just next week, he's going to rise again and come to do what he actually meant to do, to forgive us of our sins, to lead us towards God's grace and open arms again, to free us from this oppressing law. I'm not saying the law is bad. We should follow the law. The law has many great things in it. But this judgment of the law, that's what it saves us from. It covers our doubts, our fears, our sins, and puts us with him. And just like this donkey this week, let's follow where the Master leads us so we can learn the lessons that we need to learn and have our hearts shaped in the way that God would have them shaped. He'll pray with me. Lord, again, thank you for this wonderful day for us to gather and worship you, to praise you as your journey to the cross is coming up. Lord, be with us all this week. Open our hearts, open our eyes, to see what you see, to feel what you feel, to see how you struggle, and see how you have success. Lord, make that evident in our lives, to spread your word to all those around, to spread this love and this grace of this resurrection, of this great party coming up. In Jesus, now I pray. Amen.